says, "How you want to remember it that much?" The people we have chosen for this very special honor are, and he started reading off a few names. Skeeter gave a big sigh of relief. Hugo said, "And Skeeter Hoyt." "Ew!" Skeeter started to brush his way through the crowd. Jackie grabbed him. He said, "Skeeter," he said, "don't." He said, "I'm going to get out of here." Brandface gave a big sigh of relief. At least he wasn't called. Then Hugo announced to the rest of them to sit down on the floor that they have some more coming. He says, "Well, you boys come forward." They brought them up forward. They had this red hot iron and they laid them out on the table as they came in. Hugo said, "I think we better put a blindfold on them first." He says, "The rest of you that are going to be branded, you better go in the ante room." He said, "This is so, well," he says, "we've had people faint when they see this. So we wouldn't want to have any of you faint before we branded you. So if you'll go out in the ante room," he says, "Horse, take him out there." He took him in the room and closed the door. They put the blindfold on the first person, laid him on the table, got the red hot iron. He could feel the heat. And just when they pressed it on his chest, one of the boys from under the table got a piece of ice and stuck it on his chest. He let out a terrible scream because you can hardly tell the difference between a red hot iron or anything hot and ice cold. And of course, he thought for sure that it was the red hot iron. Finally, when they took the blindfold off, he ran screaming to the end of the room. He said, "I'm branded, I'm branded." And finally, when he looked at his chest, there was nothing there. Next, next. And finally, the last one, Skeeter. Skeeter was struggling. They put him on the table. Two boys had to hold him down. He said, "You, Hugo Barnes," he said, you big ox. He says, "Let's give him a double branding." "Oh, no. I think we should." "All right." They put a blindfold on him. And before they put the blindfold on, Skeeter saw this red hot iron. And when Hugo finally knew that he was blindfolded, "All right, boys, two of them." They got two pieces of ice and put it down on his chest. Skeeter was screaming and kicking and yelling, and finally he broke loose and ran out, tore the blindfold off. He said, "You're going to pay for this." He said, "You're not going to pay for..." He looked at his chest. He said, "Hey, I'm not branded." He said, "I could feel it, though." Jackie was back there laughing. He said, "What are you laughing at?" He said, "It wasn't a red hot iron." He said, "The last minute they took a piece of ice." "Huh?" He said, "You can't tell the difference." He says, "If you get a red hot something and hot and..." He says, "You can't tell the difference." Skeeter starts smiling. "You know, I knew it all the time." Jackie said, "Why were you screaming like that?" He said, "I was just pretending. Finally, Mo Guy stood there and shook his head. Says, "Pale face have very strange ways. Me no know whether I want to learn ways of strange pale faces or not." "Mogai, this isn't the ways of the white man. This is just a game. Very strange game. I see pale faces branding cattle. Never see branding each other." He said, "Well, we don't." He said, they didn't really do it. It was a joke." The upperclassmen were having a ball, and Hugo Barnes got up again. "All right, greenhorns." And every time they'd see him come up, they'd groan. He said, "I see that you're very happy about this whole thing." And they let out some more groans. He says, "We have one more big entertainment for you." He says, "After that," he said, "there will be some refreshments that won't be worms, and it won't be warm blood." Mr. Woodworth was sitting in the corner on the stage and stood up. He says, "That's right, boys." He says, "After this last thing that Hugo's going to do," he says, "you're welcome for real refreshments." Skeeter said, "It's about time." He says, "All right, greenhorns." He says, "Listen carefully. All the upperclassmen will line up facing each other, make a line. You greenhorns will get on your hands and knees and crawl through the spat line. As you crawl on your hands and knees from one end of the auditorium between the rows of upperclassmen, says they will be swatting you with all their might. He said, they'll break every bone in my body. Jackie laughed. He says, you're going to have to crawl fast. Mo guy said, me no understand strange ways. He said, well, Mo guy, just do it. He says, then we get up and then we run them through? No. He said, very strange. He says, all right, Greenhorns, let's go. Skeeter and Bowie were together again. Bowie was almost in tears. He says, Skeeter, he said, Hugo Barnes, when he sees me and you, he says, he'll clobber us. He says, yeah. He sure will. He said, Bowie, come here. He said, over there in the ante room, I saw a big pile of books. I said, well, what do you want to read a book now for? He said, I don't want to read a book. He said, come on. They went into the ante room. Skeeter got this big heavy book, loosened it, his belt, and stuck it in the seat of his pants. He said, what are you doing? He says, look, when Hugo Barnes comes and clobbers us, guess who's going to get clobbered? Oh, hey. Hey, Skeeter, you know, I used to think you were a sort of a dummy. Huh? I mean, I don't really mean that. I said, you're my best friend. He said, but you're smart, Skeeter. You really are. Oh, thank you so much. He said, hurry up. So they stuck the books in and walked out with the big smile on their faces. Hugo saw him. He said, hey, you greenhorns, get in line. He said, yes, sir, Hugo Barnes. He says, all right, on your hands and knees. All the greenhorns got on their hands and knees, including Mo Guy and Jackie and all of them. Of course, Hugo and Horse were in the line. Hugo got towards the end because he liked to save the real wallops until the very end, because sometimes when he'd wallop, they'd go sailing out of the line all the way across the room. And of course, he was waiting for Skeeter, mostly. So as they start going through the line, you could hear, ooh, ah, ah, ooh, 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 ah, ah, ooh. And bang, bang, whammo, bang, bang, whammo, ooh, 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 ah. And finally, Skeeter started going through. And instead of Skeeter going, ouch, ooh, ooh, every time somebody had clobber him, they'd go, oh, ho, 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 my hand. He said, that's too bad. And as they crawled all the way through, Hugo saw Skeeter coming. He said, hey, fellas, this one's mine. This one is mine. Okay, Hugo. Hugo wound up. He said, step back. And as Skeeter came through, he went, wow. And then Hugo, woo! Wow. And he began to jump up and down. And he said, hey, Hugo. He said, you dance nice. He says, why, you? And finally, in fact, Bowie was in back of him. Hugo didn't even get to clobber him. And finally, when he got to the end of the line, Skeeter and Bowie quickly took the books out and set them on the shelf. And Hugo came back there and he says, hey, you. He says, what are you made out of, steel? He says, yeah, I'm a steel boy. Bowie kind of smiled. He says, yeah, we're steel boys. And he says, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Mr. Woodworth was up on the stage. All right, boys, that concludes the festivities and the initiation. At this time, I pronounce all greenhorns who have attended officially now initiated. And everybody began to scream and cheer and so forth because they were glad it was over with. And also now, if you will go to the right side, he says, there's a room with a table full of good food. He says, if you'll form a line, he says, now you can have your good refreshments. So they lined up and slowly began to go through the line. As they were doing that, Hugo was still nursing badly bruised fingers. Horst said, hey, Hugo, he said, I thought you were tough. He says, yes, I'm tough, but he said, that kid must be made out of steel. He says, when I let him have it, he said, it was like hitting a brick wall. He said, maybe the kid's tough. He said, he's not that tough. He said, there's something strange about that kid. He said, yeah, you know, that's what I thought. He said, hey, Hugo, we're not through with that kid. He says, I want you to go get the buckboard.
At this time of the night?
He said, just listen what I'm telling you. you go out and get the buckboard and have it on the east side of the dormitory.
He said, where are we going?
He says, I'm going to take Skeeter and Bowie someplace.
So where are you going to take him?
He said, just do as I tell you.
Well, I said, I don't know whether you're supposed to do that.
I don't care what you think. He said, I'm going to take him up to the graveyard. Yes, I'm taking him to the graveyard. He said, I'm going to tie him to a tombstone. That's where they're going to spend the night.
Oh, Hugo, not that.
He says, yes, that, and they deserve it. He says, now get that buckboard over there. He said, I'm going to keep an eye on him.
I don't know, Hugo.
You don't know anything. Now do as you're told.
Okay, okay.
Skeeter and Bowie and Jackie and all of them were eating their punch and cake. And slowly, when the boys finished, they began to leave. Bowie, who had ended up towards the end of the line, was still eating. Jackie came over to Mogai. He says, Mogai, you like ways of white man now? Me like ways like this. Because he enjoyed the cake and the punch. He said, let's go. He says, where's Brandface? Brandface was sitting in the corner. He said, I'm over here. You ready to go? I'm all finished. He says, yeah, where's Skeeter? Skeeter? He said, I'm over here, Jackie. He said, I'm waiting for Bowie. He's not finished. He said, well, we're going to go on, okay? Yeah, he said, we'll be right over. Finally, when Bowie finished, Skeeter said, come on, let's go. We're late. Not knowing that Hugo was watching him. And finally, when they got out on the step, it was fairly dark. He said, hey, Bowie, we're late. He said, let's cut across through the bushes. He said, when we get to our dormitory, he said, maybe we can beat Jackie and the rest of them back, huh? They're kind of dark out there. He said, yeah, who's afraid of the dark? Bowie looked at him. He says, I am.
He said, I am too.
He said, then what are you doing it for? He said, because we're going to beat them. He said, come on, let's run. As they start running, Skeeter heard somebody behind him. Who that? Bowie said, I heard somebody. He says, I did too. He says, come on, let's get out of here. They start running, and finally they look back and they saw somebody chasing them. Skeeter yelled, run for your life! The two of them ran and ran and ran, and finally they came to a sort of a brush, and there was a stick on underneath, and they both fell into the dried leaves. And all of a sudden, when they looked up, somebody was holding them. He says, all right, you two. He says, this is what I've been waiting for. Come on. Skeeter said, Hugo Barnes, what are you going to do? He says, never mind. He says, come on. He took him over to the east side of the dormitory, and Horace had the buckboard there. He said, get inside there. He threw him up in the buckboard. He said, all right, Horace, up to the cemetery. What? Where? He says, never mind. He said, let's go.
Horse said, all right, giddy up, you horse. Giddy up, horsey, horsey, horsey.
And they tore down the drive and up the hill to the cemetery. It was a cloudy, drizzly night, and the clouds seemed to hang low and almost scrape the trees as the drizzle slowly fell. They stopped in front of the iron gate. Hugo grabbed him and he says, come on. He opened the gate, pushed the door as the gate as it squeaked open. Hey, horse, get the rope. He said, I want you to pick out two nice big tombstones.
Oh, he said, I don't know whether you should do this.
Never mind. He said, they deserve it. They took him inside and finally they found one. He says, let's tie Skeeter up. They put his hands around the tombstone, tied his legs and his hands, found another one a few feet away and tied Bowie to it. He says, well now, he says, have a good night. He says, it's almost midnight. He says, you understand that at midnight the graves open up. And he says, you will have company. You won't be lonesome at all. And pleasant dreams. They left. Skeeter and Bowie could hear the gate squeak as it closed. Then they could hear the horse's hoofs. And finally it was still, very still, except the low hanging fog and the drizzle coming down. In fact, at times, Skeeter couldn't even see Bowie. Bowie, I'm over here. He said, are you still there? He says, try to get loose. And the more they try to get loose, the tighter the ropes got, because the drizzling rain now began to make them wet, and it was harder to untie. And Jackie, or rather Skeeter, knew that he and Bowie probably would have to spend the night in the cemetery waiting for the magic hour of midnight, like what Hugo said, the graves would open. Skeeter was very frightened, so was Bowie, because they really didn't believe it. But yet, after all, if you're tied to a tombstone at midnight, who knows? Because they'd never been in a cemetery at midnight before. Skeeter yelled at Bowie. He said, what time do you think it is? He says, I don't know, but I hope it's not midnight. Jackie will come and get us. He said, don't worry, Bowie. Don't be frightened. I'm not. I'm scared. He said, well, I am too. The clouds hung low. It was getting very wet. Bowie began to start sneezing as if he were catching a cold. Back at the school, Hugo and Horse put the horse and wagon up, went to their room, and Hugo was quite pleased. He says, that'll teach those greenhorns a lesson. He said, I haven't done this for a long time. He said, I don't know, Hugo. He said, I don't think those kids, it's starting to rain out there. He says, so they get wet. He said, boy, when I told them about the graves opening at midnight, he said, boy, they'll really be shivering in their shoes.
Horse says, yeah. He said, hey, Hugo. He said, they don't really, do they?
He said, why, you believe it?
Well, I don't know.
And then, nah, he says, you know that. Did I just telling the kids to frighten them?
Well, you almost had me scared.
Jackie, who had gone to bed, and Mogai were very uneasy. They were half asleep. And finally, when Jackie sat up and looked over at Skeeter's bed and found out it was empty, he jumped out of bed. He says, Mogai? Mogai jumped up. He says, what's wrong? He said, I don't think that Skeeter's back. Jackie lit the lamp, and his bed hadn't been slept in. Little Paleface probably come home and then go to see Bowie or someone. He said, at this time of the night, he said, it's almost midnight. Oh, he said, very late, huh? Yes, very late. He said, he better be in the school. He said, there's a penalty for not being in your room at 9 o'clock, lights out. Maybe Paleface brother better put out light then, huh? He said, well, this is an emergency. He says, what are we gonna do? He says, I go see if Bowie here. He opened the door and walked down the hall to Bowie's room. He tiptoed in. He saw Brandface in bed snoring. He tiptoed over to Bowie's bed. It hadn't been slept in. He came back. Jackie met him halfway down the hall. He said, is he there? He says, no. He says, seems to me we lost two pale faces. He says, yeah, I wonder what could have. He said, how long would it take him to walk from the auditorium over to here? He said, and that's been hours ago. They went back in their rooms. Maybe I better go down and talk to Mr. Woodworth about it. He says, we better find little pale faces if they're out in the cold somewhere. Of course, it was now midnight. Bowie and Skeeter were in the cemetery, and they knew it was late. And every so often, Skeeter would hear or think he heard moaning and groaning. He said, who dat? Bowie listened. He said, I didn't hear anything. He said, well, it must be 12 o'clock. Bowie began to sneeze some more. He says, I can't get my hands loose. They're tighter and tighter all the time. He says, Skeeter, what are we gonna do? Do we have to stay here till the morning? He says, I guess so. By this time, Jackie had almost gone down the steps. And as he passed Hugo's door, he remembered the way Hugo treated Skeeter. He says, wait a minute, Mogai. He says, I think I know where I can find out. He says, without going down and tattling to Mr. Woodworth. He says, they don't like kids to tattle. He said, you mean big pale face with fire in here? He says, I think he'd know. He says, come, we go. He went to the door and knocked. No answer. Jackie knocked still louder. Finally, somebody said, who's out there anyway? Jackie pushed the door open. It's Jackie and Mo Guy. So what are you guys doing out of bed? You know that's against regulations. Hugo sat up in bed. What's going on? Mo Guy walked over to the bed. We looked for two little pale faces. Jackie says, yes. He says, Skeeter and Bowie, where are they? Well, how should I know? He said, don't blame me for it.
Yeah, how come we're supposed to know?
He said, because the way you treated Skeeter, Hugo. Now, where is he? He says, you know where he is. You did something with him. He says, no, I didn't. He said, I don't know. Now, get out of here. Mo Guy didn't move. Finally, he looked down at Hugo. He says, you tell him now where little Payface is. Or he says, I take you and scalp him. And all of a sudden, Jackie saw him reach for his knife that he had brought with him. Now, wait a minute. He said, put that thing away. Did you tell him where him is? All right. He says, it was just a joke.
He said, we didn't mean any harm.
He says, where are they? He says, well, we took him up to the cemetery and tied him to his tombstone. Jackie's hair almost stood on end. What? He said, we took him up to the cemetery. He said, you mean to tell me that Bowie and Skeeter are tied to a tombstone in the cemetery? Yeah, if they didn't get away. I thought they'd get away by now.
Well, I tied them pretty tight. He said, they're probably still up there.
He says, all right. He says, Mo Guy, come on, fast. The two of them took out through the door and headed up towards the cemetery. When they got to the gate, Jackie said to Mo Guy, he says, they're in here somewhere. By that time, Bowie and Skeeter were sopping wet, scared to death. And about that time, Jackie pushed the gate and it made a squeaking sound.
Who that?
Finally, Jackie listened. Did you hear something, Mo Guy? He says, I hear something. Jackie tried to project his voice. Skeeter, where are you? Skeeter, listen. It's the ghost that's there after us, Bowie. Did you hear him call my name? Bowie, where are you? Shh, don't answer. He said, let him find us. He said, that'll be soon enough. They heard someone coming closer, and through the mist and the fog, they could see these two objects coming through. Skeeter! Where are you? Skeeter said, be quiet, boy. Don't answer. They were coming closer. He says, Skeeter, it's Jackie. Jackie? Where are you? He's over here, Jackie. And finally rushed up. He said, oh, Jackie, it's you. He said, why didn't you answer?
Because I was scared. I thought it was the ghost that's coming out of the graves. He said, Bowie's over there.
Mo Guy rushed over with his knife and cut the ropes loose. And as he felt his hands, they felt very hot. Jackie rushed over with Skeeter. He said, tie him loose. He said, me tie him, untie him already. He says, cut ropes, see? He says, you feel him. Jackie felt his hand and then his forehead. He says, Bowie, you've got a terrible fever. I know it. I don't feel good at all. He says, and being out here in the rain like this? He says, come on. He said, let's get you home fast. So they got the boys back to school and put Bowie to bed. And of course, Skeeter got to bed. Nothing else was said except the next morning, bright and early, when the boys were getting ready for school, Jackie and Skeeter and Mo Guy came out the hall ready to go to their first class when they saw Brandface. He said, "Hey, Brandface," he said, "how's that partner of yours?" He said, "Did you hear about what happened to us?" He says, "Yeah, I heard." He said, "Bowie's sick. He's in bed." "Oh." Jack said, "Well, he did have a fever." He said, "Could we go in and see?" So Jackie and Skeeter and Mogai walked into the room, and they could tell that Bowie was quite ill. They felt his forehead, and he was burning up with fever. Jackie looked at Skeeter and says, "We've got to go down and tell Mr. Woodworth about this." He said, he's in bad shape. He needs a doctor." Finally, as they were going down the steps, Hugo came out of his door and he saw them going down the steps. He said, "Hey, Greenhorn." He said, "What do you want?" He said, "Where's your other partner?" Skeeter stopped, so did Mogai. Skeeter walked back up the steps. He said, "Hugo Barnes?" He says, "Bowie is sick. He's got a terrible fever." He said, "Jackie just went down to tell Mr. Woodworth to get a doctor and get a doctor fast." He said, "He may even die." "Ah," he said, "he's not going to die." He said, "What's a little rain?" He said, "It's going to be your fault, Hugo." And finally, Mogai took a step forward, looked Hugo Barnes in the eyes. "Little pale face die, big pale face with fire in hair die." Hugo turned a little red and then into a deep purple. "He's not going to die. He's going to be just fine, just fine." Jackie grabbed Mogai by the arm. He said, "Mogai," he said, "he's going to be all right." Not long after that, the doctor came, and Mr. Woodworth were rushing up the stairs. Skeeter and Jackie and Brandface followed him. The doctor looked, turned back and said, "I would rather all of you just stayed out just for a minute." He went inside. Mr. Woodward began to pace the floor. It seemed like hours before he finally slowly opened the door. He was shaking his head back and forth. Peter rushed up. "Doctor," he said, how is my friend Bowie?" He says, "Bowie is very, very sick." Mr. Woodward looked rather frightened too. He says, "Doctor, will he make it?" He said, "I can't promise that. He's running a very high fever. I said, if it doesn't break in a few days, I'm afraid he won't survive it. I would suggest that you get a hold of his parents and have them come to the school immediately." "Is it that serious, doctor?" asked Mr. Woodward. He said, "I'm afraid so." Hugo, who was down at the end of the hall, stretched his ear as far as it would go to hear, and he heard. He went inside. Horse was on the bed, relaxing as usual. He says, "Get up."
"What's wrong?"
He says, "That Indian out there, you know what he told me?"
He said, "Yeah, I was out there."
He said, "The doctor just said that Bowie might die."
"Oh, Hugo, you're in big trouble."
He said, "We're both in trouble. You went out there with me."
"Yeah, but I didn't want to do it."
He said, "That doesn't make any difference." He said, "If he's going to scalp me, he's going to scalp you too."
He said, "What are we going to do?"
He said, "What we're going to have to do is move all the furniture in front of the door." He says, "For the next few days."
"So what for?"
He said, "Because I don't want anybody coming in here." He said, "Especially with a knife."
"Oh, you mean that Indian guy, huh?"
He says, "Exactly."
He said, "You think that'll stop him?"
He says, "Well, it's better than just having the door open."
"Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right."
So they moved the dresser in front of the door. And the rest of the day, when they came out to classes and so forth, they were always very careful to look up and down the halls to make sure that Mogai wasn't around. That evening, the doctor came back again. It was after supper. The whole school knew what had happened, that Hugo Barnes had taken Skeeter and Bowie to the cemetery and tied them up, and that Bowie was now on the verge of almost certain death. Mr. Woodward came out with the doctor. The fever hadn't broken. says, I'm going to ask some of you boys to sit with him. He said, we're going to have to sit with him 24 hours a day.
He said, I'll sit with him. I can sit all night if I have to.
He said, that won't be necessary. He says, we'll have to put these...
He said, what you mean? He said, Pickle, did you...